Anybody get any rain this week? Yes. Yes. It looks like we're supposed to get some more this week. I hope so. Job chapter 28 is where we are at this morning. I want to talk to you this morning about the fear of the Lord is wisdom. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. Job says that in this chapter. Job chapter 28. And I'll just read you the verse that says our theme this morning. Job 28 and verse 28. Job 28:28 says, "And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." Let's pray, and we'll talk about the fear of the Lord is wisdom this morning. Father, I thank you for, first of all, Lord, for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for these words. And Lord, do like Alan and Craig have already prayed, but I do lift up John to you. I know Josh is headed over there right now, and I pray that you would give doctors wisdom. I pray that you'd comfort Jeanette and comfort John, and Lord, that you'd help them. Father, that you'd take care of John's body, and Father, just that you'd be in the middle of this whole thing. Lord, thank you for each soul that's here this morning. I pray everybody here would get something from you, get what they need from you. We would learn more about wisdom and something we all need, but obtaining it is our responsibility. And Father, I pray you'd help us this morning with it. And again, if anybody here is not saved, Lord, I pray, like you said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I pray folks would come to an understanding and, first of all, a fear of the Lord, understanding their sin before you and that their sin's going to be judged. But then also understanding the gospel, which is that you've provided justification in the blood of Jesus Christ to whoever will believe. And I pray that would be abundantly clear. Father, thank you again for this opportunity together this morning, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Job, if you remember, we're skipping several chapters here. There's a lot of accusation from Job's friends, and it just kind of goes back and forth between Job defending himself and then being accused, and then defending himself, and then being accused. And I really didn't know what to do with all the accusations. I mean, you can do a whole chapter of accusations from these guys that come to Job and just accuse him. And I don't know, you know, the whole chapter. It's interesting that God chooses to record all of these conversations. And I mean, you can have a whole chapter of just basically nonsense that's thrown at Job. And I mean, it's maybe not nonsense, that's not a good word for it, but it's just misapplied information, and it doesn't really apply to Job. And just for, I'm sorry if you're new here, and we've been going through Job here, and here we are in the middle of it, but to kind of get you caught up, Job has suffered more than any man in the world. He has lost 10 children, all of his children in one day. He's lost everything he owns in a day. He has basically, the Lord has given the devil an opportunity to try Job, and God has said, no, Job's not going to break. And the devil has been given an opportunity to take things from Job, and he does. He takes everything from Job, takes his family, takes all his property. And Job, then he takes his health. And Job is just, he is alone. His wife she's lost everything too, but she's encouraging Job to just curse God and die. And then Job's three friends show up. These guys are supposed to be his friends. They show up and all they do is just accuse him. And so he goes through all of this accusation for chapter after chapter after chapter. And Job still doesn't know why things are happening the way they are. I mean, he still has no light on why did I lose everything? Why is my health just shot? What's going on here? And the thing that Job is looking for is something that you and I always, we come to a point several points in our life where you wonder why things are happening the way they are. And I don't want to immediately apply it to us, but I mean that's the application. Job is at a point in his life where he just wants to know. He needs some wisdom on this. He wants the missing piece of information, and he doesn't have it. And he's still not clued in. God hasn't revealed to him why these things are happening. Job has not lived a bad life. I mean, he's lived a good life. He's tried to keep his family in order. He's done things he can do. He knows he's not righteous. He knows he's a sinner, but he's a good man, perfect man, the Bible says in Job chapter 1. And so Job, the missing piece that Job is looking for, he's just looking for wisdom. Just needs some sort of understanding of why these things are happening, and he doesn't have that. And so in this is his ninth defense against these friends. I mean, it's amazing, they just keep coming back and coming back. And Job, in this chapter, he's going to describe wisdom, define wisdom as the fear of the Lord, and then he's going to liken wisdom to treasure. And really it is. I mean, if Job's, the thing that would be valuable in his life is wisdom. If he just knew and understood the circumstances, that would be the most valuable thing he could have. And he can't buy it with gold. He can't buy it with silver. He can't spend money to purchase this wisdom. He can't go to the grocery store and buy it. So this understanding that's missing is something that has become elusive but very valuable to him. And so in this defense, he starts to liken wisdom to treasure and he defines it at the end of the chapter. But let me just give you the comparisons that Job makes to wisdom here at the beginning. In Job chapter 28, in verse 1, he says this. He says, "Surely there's a vein for the silver and a place for gold where they find it. Iron is taken out of the earth and brass is molten out of the stone. He setteth an end to darkness and searcheth out all perfection, the stones of darkness and the shadow of death. The flood breaketh out from the inhabitant. Even the waters forgotten of the foot, they are dried up. They are gone away from men." I'll stop there. It's a very illustrative way of describing, like the first verse, he says, surely there's a vein, there's a place where you can mine out silver. There's a place in the earth where you can pull out gold and you can refine it. There's a source for all this valuable stuff. But for wisdom, I can't find the source of it. I can't, it's so valuable, but so elusive. I can't find where do I get wisdom? And so he's comparing it to treasure. We'll keep reading. He says in verse 5, "As for the earth, out of it cometh bread, and under it is turned up as it were fire. The stones of it are the place of sapphires, and it hath dust of gold. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen." So he's talking about things that are inside the earth. And this is significant because he's going to talk about things that are in the earth, and he's going to talk about things that are in the water that are treasures. And all these things being compared to wisdom, but wisdom, he can't find the source of it. Verse 8, "The lion's whelps have not trodden, nor the fierce lion passed by it. He putteth forth his hand upon the rock. He overturneth the mountains by the roots. He cutteth out rivers among the rocks, and his eye seeth every precious thing. He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. Now here's the question. But where's wisdom? I can find gold in the earth. I can find silver in the earth. I can mine out precious stones in the earth. But man, when I try to find wisdom, I don't know where do I get it. So he likens it to treasure. First of all, treasure that's hid in the earth. He says, well, where is wisdom? Verse 12. Where shall wisdom be found? Where is the place of understanding? That's the thing that's most valuable to him right now, and he can't find it. Verse 13, man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. Now he goes to the water. The depth saith, it is not in me. And the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx, or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. So Job can't buy it. He said, I can't exchange money for it. I don't have a way of possessing wisdom. I can't find the source of this thing. Verse 18. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. Likens it to treasure. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Here's another question. Whence then cometh wisdom? Where is the place of understanding? So he's dealt with things in the land, in the earth, that you can mine out. And if again, Job is the oldest book in the world, the oldest real book in the world. And people say, well, the Iron Age didn't start here and the Bronze Age and all that kind of stuff. This is 1700 BC, 1800 BC. And Job understands mining principles. He understands how to get things out of the earth. He understands all that. So it's not new things. This is stuff, this has been going on for a long time. Verse 22, destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain, and a way for the lightning of the thunder, now watch this, then did he see it, and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that's wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. So here's what's just been said. Wisdom has value. And it has value that you couldn't put a price on it. All these other things that have value in this earth, they have a price. And they have a source. And Job says, I could find the source of these things. I could find the source of silver. I could find the source of gold. I could search in the water and find coral. I could find pearls. I could find valuable things. But wisdom, here I am in this time in my life. And the thing that I need is wisdom, and I don't have it. Not only do I not have it, I don't even know where to get it. I can't find the source of it. Y'all gonna be okay over there? Yeah. All right. So Job describes wisdom as treasure. He describes wisdom as it has a place somewhere. And after looking in the earth, and then looking under the sea, can't find it. Where is it? Then he describes God in the air, above everything, forming storm clouds and forming rain and lightning and thunder. And then man, instead of looking in the earth for wisdom or in the sea for wisdom, man looks up and sees the storm coming and fears, just like in a hurricane. He looks up. And he's afraid of what he sees above him. And when he looks up, God says, okay, Now you've found the source of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You look up, and just like a hurricane coming or a storm coming, you look up, you hear the crack of the thunder, you see the lightning flash, and it causes people to either move in a certain direction, it causes people to evacuate, it causes people. So what does he say? He says, unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that's wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. You know what people do in that situation? They see the danger coming and they start evacuating. You know what that is? To depart from evil. He says, now you've got it. And so Job describes its wisdom as treasure. Its wisdom is very valuable, precious thing. But I can't find the source of it in the earth. I can't find the source of it in the sea until I look up and see what God has formed in the heavens, and they consider what God has done in the heavens. And so this is what he says about it in verse 25. Let me just read it again to you with those thoughts in mind. Verse 24, for he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, watch this, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. To depart from evil is understanding. So Job compares wisdom to treasure, although it can't be found in the earth. It's something you're going to have to look up for. Job compares wisdom to treasure as a source. Where does the source of these treasures? Yeah, we can mine this stuff out of the earth, and we can get gold out of the earth, and it's valuable, but where do I mine wisdom from? And then it's explained. The fear of the Lord, that's the mine. That's where you get it from. That the first time you got wisdom is when you looked up and you asked God, what do you think about this? And you stop looking around and saying, well, how do I think about that? What's my opinion about this? What do I feel about this? And you stop doing that and you looked up and you said, Lord, what do you think about this? What do you think about my life? What do you think about this sin? What do you think about this relationship? What do you think about this? And when you looked up and you feared God and you asked God to give you his opinion on it and you listened to it, God said, all right, now you've got wisdom. Now you're getting it. So here's Job. Concerning wisdom, where does it come from? What is it worth? He says, the fear of the Lord is wisdom. That's the source. You want a mine for it? The fear of the Lord, that's the mine. Concerning wisdom, where does it come from? What's it worth? Wisdom is likened, like I said, like a storm that causes people to shrink down and evacuate. People look up, and when they look up, they consider their ways. Wisdom begins, like I said, when you begin to ask the question, what does God think about this? He says, the fear of the Lord in Psalms is the beginning of wisdom. What does the Lord say about this? So here's wisdom. Wisdom is everywhere where someone says, Lord, what do you think about this? That's where wisdom is. Everywhere someone says, Lord, I have my own thoughts about this thing, but I need your thoughts on it. I got my own ideas about this relationship, and I'm just making some application here. I got my own ideas about this relationship, but Lord, what do you say about it? And God says, all right, that's the source of wisdom. Now you're getting it. You give God the like we said before, you give God the benefit of the doubt. Lord, I don't feel like this is something I want to do. I don't feel like, you know, I like this relationship. I like this business deal. I like this job. I want to keep doing this, or I want to go this way. I want this for my education, but I know I want all those things. But Lord, what do you want? And the Lord says, all right, that's wisdom. Now you've got wisdom. Now I can give you something that is direction, that is help. So that's the definition of it. I'm going to show you several applications in the Bible, and we'll just go through these as quick as we can go through them. Look over here in 2 Samuel. I'm going to give you some applications of wisdom here and the fear of the Lord. 2 Samuel 23 and verse 3. The application of the fear of the Lord. Second Samuel 23, verse 3. The Bible says this. These are David's last words, but they're good words. It says this: the God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, and the ruling in the fear of God. One application of the fear of the Lord and the fear of God, and which is wisdom, is leadership. So here's an example. David says this to Solomon, his son. Solomon is going to take over Israel as king. And as soon as Solomon gets this kingdom, the first thing he says after looking out over the kingdom, if you guys remember, he says, I am just a child. I do not know how to govern this people. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what steps to take. I've watched my dad, but I putting these things into practice, I don't know how to do this. And the very first thing Solomon asked for is some wisdom. You know what he does? He doesn't look in the earth. He doesn't look in the sea. He looks up and he says, Lord, I have some ideas about these things, but I need help. I need help. And you know what the Lord does? He responds. And he gives Solomon wisdom beyond any other man. You know what? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it's applied in leadership. You think about leadership in government. That's an example here. Government leadership, any kind of parental leadership. You and I appreciate leaders that fear God. You know what you don't like or are afraid of is leadership that doesn't have any regard for God. And there are groups of people in government, there are individuals in government who have no fear of God. Meaning they have no restraint on their life. They don't care about human life. They don't care about what they do to other people. It's a career. And so from a practical side, not only is the fear of God good for someone making decisions, it's also good for the people who have to live under those decisions that are made. You and I appreciate leadership that fears God. And it is a scary thing when you're under leadership that has no regard for God. So here's an application, leadership. David says, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Wise leadership is provided when the leadership defers to the Lord God in their decisions and their organization and their delegation and their service and their instruction and integrity in their private lives. So what's the value? Because he said wisdom had value. It has value. What's the value of leadership that's like that, that fears God? Well, the people aren't led into evil. You know, there are some God, I've heard this, you probably heard it too. Some people say religion has killed more people than anything else in this world. That's not true. Atheism has killed more people than anything else in this world. People who have no regard for God. Now, I wouldn't negate the fact that, yeah, people have done terrible things in the name of religion. But you go over to China, Thailand, Korea. You find history of godlessness and murder and just no regard for God, no fear of God, killing millions of people. I'll give you an example. So there was this in the 50s, the leader of China named Mao Zedong came up with a plan to, it was called the Great Leap Forward. He was going to bring China into the technological age. And so his great idea was, we're going to take all of the steel that we have in farming equipment, we're going to collect it all, and we're going to make weapons out of it. All right, if you start collecting tractors and farming equipment from people, you know what you don't have anymore? Farms. You don't have food. But he has, this guy has, he has no regard for the people, he has no regard for the for God. And so he comes up with this stupid plan. And all the people around him, they don't fear God, they fear him. And so they're all yes men. They just say, yes, yes, we'll do that. This is a great idea. And so what follows is, who knows the real number, but tens of millions of people die of starvation because there's no food. He collected everything that as much as he could gather up to make weapons so he could usher China into a new age, a new era. And okay, you got your weapons, but you got no people with food to run these things. The point is, the fear of God is valuable in leadership. It's not only valuable for the people making decisions, it's valuable if you're under somebody who's making these decisions. The fear of the Lord, that's why David said what he said. It has value. It has great value. Here's another one. Look over in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. I'll give you another one about the fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So, someone who looks up and says, Lord, I need help. I need direction. I need help parenting. I need help being a student. I need help. I need direction. I need help. Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. God, I was talking to somebody the other day, and we're discussing whatever we're discussing. And anyway, do you understand the creator of parenting has some ideas about how to be a parent? Do you understand that the creator of marriage has some ideas about how to be married? You understand the creator of knowledge and education has some ideas about what you ought to know. So you can either look to the one who created these things for information, or you can keep the blinders on and say, I'll do it my way, despise instruction, despise direction, and do it your way and wonder why you keep coming into the messes you keep coming into. But the creator of marriage, the creator of parenting, the creator of everything you see, he's got some ideas about how things run. In fact, he set them all in motion. So the fear of the Lord, the Bible says, is the beginning of knowledge. So here's someone who gets educated in something, and instead of knowing something, now they just have questions. What am I? Where did I come from? Am I a boy? Am I a girl? You know what? That's the opposite of knowledge. That's not knowing. That's that's losing, you're going into darkness. The point is, the beginning, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, well, maybe there's probably a lot of people who don't actually believe that. And they believe they can pile up some sort of knowledge and it's worthwhile and things like that. But according to the Bible, the fear of the Lord is where knowledge begins. So you don't start to know anything until you look up and you ask the one who created everything, how does this work? How does this relationship work? How is it supposed to work? How am I supposed to live this life? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So here's what you'll read in the New Testament and some 1 John, things like that. He says, these things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life. You know what that is? That's knowledge. I'm writing these things so that you can have knowledge. You can have understanding. Not have, well, how do I do this? How do I do questions? Yeah, you're going to have questions. We all have questions in life. But understand, the source of the information is the fear of God. That's where you start getting the information. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. All right, here's another one. Since you're in Proverbs, a lot of these are in Proverbs. Look in Proverbs 14, verse 26. Proverbs 14, 26. Proverbs 14, 26 says of the fear of the Lord, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. All right. Is there any value to a refuge when you need a refuge? Yeah, there's a value to a refuge. Is there any value to having confidence? There's a lot of problems and things that go on in people's lives. Maybe they don't have confidence in the things they do, so they find confidence in their friends. You know, social. All my friends are doing it, so I'm going to do it. That gives me confidence. But they don't have confidence. So here's where confidence is actually found. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. When you consider what God thinks about something, put it in these terms. When you've done something wrong, when you're just imagine when you're a kid, go back in that time, or if you're a kid, just think about this week. And you've done something wrong, and you know what you've done wrong, but you also know mom and dad haven't found out yet. So what you don't have is confidence. You have fear. And what you're worried about is, okay, how can I continue to hide this behavior so that no one finds out about it? Or how can I manipulate this situation so that my sin stays covered up? You know what you have? You have the opposite of confidence. You have no confidence. You just have fear. On the other hand, you do something right. You know what's not weighing on your conscience? I'm not worried about what mom and dad find out because there's nothing to find out. You know what you have? Confidence. So he says, the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. When I consider what does he want, and then I take those steps that he wants, you know what I have? Confidence. I'm not worried about how this thing's going to turn out. I've done what I can do to make this right. He's given me direction. I've taken those steps, and maybe if he gives you direction and you don't take those steps, then yeah, okay, then there's a reason for a lack of confidence. But if he gives you some direction and you take those steps, it's kind of like, okay, well, however this thing turns out is how it's going to turn out. You know, that's just called confidence. And it starts with a fear of the Lord. Lord, what do you want out of this? On the other hand, I don't consider what God wants, and I just do my own thing, and now I'm busy trying to hide my own thing. So, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence. And notice what's at the end of this verse, and his children shall have a place of refuge. You think that's valuable? Remember, he likened wisdom and the fear of the Lord to some treasure over in Job. Don't you think your children, grandchildren, having a place of refuge is valuable? That's probably more valuable than even you having a place of refuge. I mean, in a storm, you might say, you know what, I'm willing to if the kids can go hide here, I'll stay out, whatever. I imagine most parents would view it that way, where you say, all right, as long as my kids are safe, that's okay with me. So he says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. That's valuable. That has some treasure there. Where's the place of refuge? It's where you look up, you say, Lord, wherever you want me to be, whatever you want me doing, give me some direction. Help me. Fear of the Lord is strong confidence. You're in chapter 14, look in the next verse, verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. So you're going back to that illustration of the storm. He said, an understanding is to depart from evil. And I liken that, I think about it when I read Job. That's like when the forecast comes and the hurricane is bearing down and people say, you know what, I gotta leave. You know what that is? That's departing from evil. This thing is about to destroy everything in its path. I am leaving because I don't want to be in its path. So here's the fear of the Lord. It's a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. I'd say life is pretty valuable. Fear of the Lord, that's where life is. To depart from the snares of death. Here's another one, Proverbs 15. I'll give you a couple more of these. In Proverbs 15, verse 16, he says this. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. So the fear of the Lord is efficiency. I can do a lot more with a little bit in the fear of the Lord than if I have a bunch of stuff and have no fear of the Lord and just trouble. Just creates trouble in my life. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Isn't there a value to efficiency? I mean, I know companies spend lots of money on just being efficient with their stuff. Efficiency has value. Here's another one. I'll just read these to you. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 19:23. Tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Notice the contrast. If fear of the Lord is the opposite of wherever evil is. The fear of the Lord is over here and evil's over here. Fear of the Lord is here. Here's where all the evil's going on. I got away from it because I feared the Lord. I looked up and I considered my ways and I went this other way and got out of the path of evil. See it over and over in these verses. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. He that hath it shall abide satisfied. I mean, isn't that what you're looking for? The person that's satisfied. Here's the wealthy person. The wealthy person is the person that says, I don't need anything else. The poor person is the person that says, I need this, I need that, I need this, I need that, I need this, I need that, I need this, I need that. Discontentment. Here is the fear of the Lord, and he says, it tendeth to life, and you have it, you just abide satisfied. I don't need anything else. I don't need more stuff. In fact, the other verse said, if I had more stuff and no fear of the Lord, it'd just be trouble. Fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. You know, all of these descriptions over and over are descriptions, or the illustration is all these things are things someone would get with if the hurricanes come in and they leave, they have life, they have satisfaction, and they're in a way of prosperity. They don't lose everything. Rest. Here's another one. Acts 9:31. I'll just read it to you. Acts 9:31 says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. You wouldn't think that those two things would be put together, but you wouldn't think confidence and fear of the Lord would be put together either. But here's the churches in Acts 9, verse 31. They have rest, they have comfort, they have edification, and the reason they have those things is because they're walking in the fear of the Lord. All of those things are products and fruits of someone looking up and, Lord, what do you want out of this? Serving God. Here's another one. And I'll move on to the last point. Really the last point. Hebrews chapter 12, he says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. So at this present time, the wise man will look up and he will ask the question, Lord, what do you want out of this? What direction do you want me to go? What do you think about this situation? I have my own thoughts, but my thoughts don't really count for anything. What do you think about this? And he'll look up and he will consider his ways. And the fool will just continue to go about doing what he's doing without any consideration of what God said and what God has laid out and the direction of God. And he'll just continue doing his ways until the inevitable day where he meets God as a consuming fire. So the last point is this. God gives you an opportunity to look up now and be instructed in this life. But it's only a finite time where you have that opportunity. The fear of the Lord provides all these things, refuge, life, efficiency, satisfaction, rest, the opportunity to serve God. It provides all of these things in this life. But the fear of the Lord is also an inevitable thing. It will be inevitable. In Proverbs, I think you're still there. Look in chapter 1 and verse 24. Proverbs 1:24. The fear of the Lord is something you ought to get a hold of before it's too late. The Lord says this, Proverbs 1:24, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Here's the point. The fear of the Lord is inevitable. You have an opportunity in this life to apply the fear of the Lord and get some benefits out of it. But after this brief time, this life, you will face the Lord. And it will be inevitable. Our God is a consuming fire. And the Lord says, if you reject, 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 reject. It's like the people watching the hurricane come, and they say, we'll wait it out, we'll wait it out, we'll wait it out, we'll wait it out. After instruction and instruction, and people, you know, got to leave, evacuate, evacuate, get out of the area, and pretty soon, the highway's shut down, and you don't leave, and you can't leave. What's going to happen is now you're going to go through the storm. But the storm isn't just like a hurricane. The storm is the wrath of God. And he said, I have tried to help you over and over and over again. And you've despised every warning, every instruction. You laughed at it. You ignored it. You slept through it. You just didn't care what was going on with it. And every warning got ignored, mocked, rejected, until finally, I'm out of warnings. I don't have anything else to say. And now the doors are shut, and the fear of the Lord will be inevitable, because now you'll see it firsthand. He will come in vengeance and wrath. And all I'm saying is, you have a great opportunity right now to fear the Lord and make use of all of the benefits of fearing God right now. There will come a time when you can't make use of any of the benefits anymore. And the fear of God will be inevitable. You'll face judgment. And for all the instruction and all of the commandments and all of the warning signs, here's what Solomon said. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And Jesus Christ said this, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Here's the point. You are stuck between a rock and a hard place. You are either going to fear God now, or you're going to fear God later. You're either going to fear God now and reap the benefits of doing it, or you're going to do it later where there is no benefit to it. Obviously, my suggestion and encouragement is do it now. Like Job said, he said, I looked for wisdom like treasure. I can find the source of treasure. I can find the source of gold. I can find the source of silver. I can find those things in the earth and in the sea. I can find those things. But I couldn't find the source of wisdom. And then I looked up, and the Lord said, there it is. The fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom. That's the source. That's where it's mined out. That's where you get the good stuff that you need. You want to mine it out of something, you mine it out of heaven, and you look up and you ask God for help. And you reap the benefits of all those things, the wisdom that comes in the fear of the Lord, or you ignore all those things. And you inevitably find the fear of the Lord in judgment. I hope you don't. I hope you don't. I hope you're saved this morning. If you're not, understand this. Your sin is going to be paid for. You say, well, I think I'm a good person. Maybe sometimes you are a good person, but we're not talking about the good times. All that sin is going to be paid for. And it's either going to be paid for by you or by Jesus Christ. Those are the only two people that will pay for that sin. And here's the good news. Jesus Christ has already paid for your sin. There is no reason for you to pay for it. That's just bad business. To pay for something that's already paid for, Jesus Christ has already paid for it. And he offers you eternal life. He offers you justification. He offers you righteousness. How? You trust Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I don't have anything to offer you. I want to receive what you offer in Jesus Christ. I want to receive forgiveness. I'm so sorry for my sin. I want to receive forgiveness. And you know what? The minute you trust Jesus Christ, God gives you eternal life. He justifies you by his blood. And he imparts righteousness to you that he doesn't take away after that. He's not in the business of depositing in your account righteousness and then withdrawing it. He just deposits it and he says, all right, you've got my righteousness. And one day I'm going to change this body to match the righteousness that I put on the inside of you. The fear of the Lord, that's wisdom.